I'm sitting in Chicago, where I've had the good fortune to visit with an old friend, Dvorit Mausner, from the University of Pennsylvania. Hi, Dvorit.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Bob.
My pleasure. She earned my admiration a couple years ago at a Case 5 district conference, speaking about the Penn Student Philanthropy Program, Proud Penn Traditions, right? And so I decided I wanted to make a recorded chat with her, reviewing my notes from that session. This is really about the first time we've gotten together since I sat in her audience.
Right.
And so let's talk about that for a couple minutes. As I said to you that day, what the biggest takeaway for me from that session was the way that Penn had defined its marketing objectives of what we're trying to accomplish with students. And you know, I visit a lot of institutions that do a senior gift program, I think mostly because they see everybody else doing
status quo, exactly.
And with not much thought into what's the bigger goal, what's the bigger context, what's the bigger thing that we're trying to accomplish.
Right.
You framed what you're trying to do at Penn in a way that I think is smart. And so I'm going to tell you what you said,
Thank you.
Why don't you elaborate on all these points.
For sure.
This was one of your slides, that one of the things Penn's trying to do with students is to engage them early and often. What does that mean?
You know, if you wait until they've already graduated, what is the relevancy to them of your office, your development and alumni relations? Who are you? They had their experience, it was encapsulated in their four favorite years of their life, and then they go on and they think, that was the end, and now I'm off in the world as I was supposed to be as a graduate. So when we start talking to them as incoming students, I mean, even before they're freshmen in some cases, it's creating a relationship that says, the university is an ally of yours and one that will be with you for the rest of your life. So by having freshman programming, by working with our sophomore class board, bringing speakers in for our juniors, and then of course culminating in our senior gift campaign, we are creating more of a bond with our students and treating them as though we are excited to be a part of their life for the rest of their life. Once they've graduated, it's very hard to find them, let alone, you know, get them to respond to our notes. And so if we have already established ourselves as a trusting partner in their academic and personal development, I think we have a much easier time maintaining that connection with them when they've already graduated and when they've moved on.
You say that we're trying to teach financials.
Without a doubt. How many students know that their tuition doesn't cover the full cost? And why should we keep that secret? I still don't understand why that isn't front and center when you pay your bill. Hey, maybe you want to pitch in a little extra. I mean, if I were in charge of student finances, maybe that would be something I would consider. I think it's important that tuition payers and the recipients of financial aid know full well where their money goes and where their money hasn't gone far enough. And that's just transparency like any organization.
You say evoke traditions and history.
Penn is a rich place to be a student and an alum as well. So it is our duty as holders of institutional knowledge to pass that along. We can't assume that just because someone wants to come to Penn, they know all about its history. And I think that that's an exciting responsibility of development and alumni relations, to bring our students and our young alumni and our older alumni into that fold so they really understand the importance that their institution has in the world, in the local community, and in their lives.
Related to that, but different, and tell me how you think they're different. You say we're trying to demonstrate a depth of alumni community.
Well, it's one thing to have a tradition, and it's another thing for people to care about it, you know? And so we can march our juniors down Locust Walk on Hay Day and anoint them seniors, but how exciting is it for them to then see pictures of all the alumni who did that themselves? And furthermore, to meet with our Executive Vice President, Craig Carnaroli, who still has his Hay Day hat. I think knowing how many of our alumni are proud to continue to be associated with the university gives our students and young alumni something to look forward to themselves.
And lastly, and I think most importantly, build class unity and especially these days, volunteer networks.
That's right. People are looking for something that they can get out of their experience beyond just their degree. And when we have students who are very engaged with us, they want to continue to be down the line. I like the fact that they continue to make friends who are part of our network. I like the fact that as a class, they'll always have an identity that then we can refer to get them excited about their reunions, to get them excited about class giving. So I would hope that the individual experience is profound, but that furthermore, the class experience is really something that people can hold on to.
We were gnashing our teeth at lunch before this at how so many places go to all the work of organizing kids for a senior gift program and don't retain any of, you know, who the good volunteers were, you know, the same sort of structure that you could come back to with class agents or reunions. They only are living for that activity right then and there without any bigger context.
Right.
Drives me crazy.
It's a hard program to run. I think it depends how many resources you have. And when the notion of a senior gift was coming into the minds of a lot of administrators, it was probably, gosh, could we even get this off the ground? Could we even get this started? So I applaud any university that's put it in place, but I would say you're missing half the story if you think that's the end of the tale.
So that list that we just sort of ran through, engage students, teach financials, evoke traditions, demonstrate alumni community, and build volunteer networks. What strikes me about that list and why I think Penn got it right is that, you know, you don't have to be an Ivy League institution to still embrace that set of marketing objectives. I mean, I could see a community college saying, okay, we still need to teach financials, we show that there's an alumni community, build volunteer networks,
right,
even if we don't have a big class identity necessarily.
Right.
And obviously that's an advantage that a place like Penn can use.
Yeah.
But it isn't required, especially in these days of Facebook and social media, to at least be able to take advantage of who knows who.
That's exactly right.
And maybe you weren't engaged with your class, maybe it took you 10 years to graduate.
Right.
You still made friends at this institution.
Without a doubt.
And that's a resource that we can use from an advancement point of view.
I agree. And even if your institution doesn't have 200 years of history and traditions, it doesn't mean your school doesn't have them. If there's a building where everyone had to register and pick up their ID card, that's a tradition. There are some simple things that schools might overlook and not realize that because people have that common memory, it's something to which they can all associate and therefore something to which they can all discuss and build new relationships and ideas from. I think that that's critical to remember as well.
This is the easiest interview ever. You barely have to even ask any questions.
I'm glad you think so.
Because you get wound up about this stuff like I do.
It's what I've known. It's my professional life.
And I also like that you, it's always been obvious to me that a lot of what we do is just plain marketing.
Right.
And I think sometimes that idea gets lost in the giving piece, the charity piece, the
yes,
not-for-profit piece.
Right.
But you really seem to have a very consistent focus that it's just marketing. It's teaching a behavior. It's creating a culture. It's okay to accept that people didn't wake up in the morning already thinking what I want them to think.
Of course.
But that's part of what I'm here to try and solve.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think a lot of fundraising is salesmanship. A lot of what we do is teaching people what they want, which is to give back. And not everyone knows that they want to give back. Not everyone has that as a part of their personal culture. And just like not everyone wants a Diet Coke when they wake up first thing in the morning,
right,
we can teach them that they do. I don't think it's manipulative in any way. I think it's exciting. It's an opportunity to help people realize passions they might not have even known they had before.
My daughter's 3 years old and she's now all into the Disney princesses. But it's because she wants to be into the Disney princesses.
True.
You know? So good for Disney to sort of make them visible.
Yes.
And she is drawn to them. In the same
right
way that I think people are drawn to philanthropy, it's not something we talk them into or trick them into. I mean, it's you frame an idea that they respond to.
I agree, although I can also imagine that there are young ladies out there who would be interested in the princesses if they had that exposure, and it might just not be part of their world perspective. And I also think there are a lot more people who would be as excited about fundraising and philanthropy as we are if they were exposed to it.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. So here are my notes from a year ago.
Yes.
Sitting in the audience of your session at Case 5. And tell me if these thoughts are still true today or if there's an update for them or whatever. You said, talk assumptively about annual giving when students say that you will be doing this someday.
I learned this in the calling center when I was working there as a student, the assumptive ask.
Which credit card do you want to put you with?
Exactly. And you know what? It works. I mean, it really works. And I think people don't want to tell you no. And if you ask them a yes or no question and the answer is no, it ends the conversation. I don't go into a visit assuming someone won't give or that someone won't want to be my next leadership donor. I assume that they will, and that way I can cut through the introductory aspect of what we're doing. They'll let me know if I'm off base, but as long as I assume it of them, I think people tend to put on the hat that you've brought to the table. And I think that's still very relevant for our students, without a doubt.
You say give students an opportunity to advertise their giving.
Yes.
That's marketing by showing them the people who are raising their hand and sort of implicitly saying, what's the matter with you, isn't it?
In a sense, it is. I think people can be very proud of the goodness that they put into the world. And being proud internally is one thing and being proud externally is something else. And you need to reach that tipping point where it becomes cool for people to demonstrate that they've given back. The best way to do it is to expose students to other students who have already done what it is you're hoping they'll all do. And a t-shirt is a great way to do it. Everyone wears a t-shirt to the gym. If it happens to be your t-shirt, great. Because if nothing else, it's a subtle or maybe not so subtle billboard that identifies those individuals with whom we're hoping many more will choose to identify. Absolutely. I think self-advertising is a great way to stir the pot and get more people excited.
Here's another one that is lost on most schools I visit. Get prior student chairs to come back and talk to this year's committee.
Yeah, we love that opportunity. If they're local, you know, even we'll consider having them in for other volunteer opportunities. Anytime we get our seniors together, we recently even had our junior class come together with our senior class, and we brought in a young alumna who had been active on her committee. Why not? It shows them that you don't die after graduation, that you can continue to be involved and engaged. It's great role modeling, and just not to forget that because someone has graduated doesn't mean that they have graduated out of your program. They've graduated from the university, but they might still be an integral member of your volunteer base.
I have a note that you must have itemized reasons seniors don't give. And the two on my list is they want to wait until graduation.
Right.
And they don't think the size of their gift matters.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge chunk of any senior class that still may not give. And to treat them as if they've done something wrong is to isolate them from those who have made their gift and to make them feel as though they're not wanted. And when I work with young alumni, I find sometimes that reaching out to someone who didn't make a gift as a senior and saying, now that you're an alumnus, how exciting, you can make your first gift ever. And they are very responsive because they might have been the type that said, you know what, I really just wanted to honor my graduation after I had done so. I don't want to rule anybody out. I don't assume because someone did not make a gift their senior year that they are not philanthropically inclined or that they don't care about the university. Instead, it might have been a timing thing. And I think iterating to yourself the reasons a person might not give back is to give yourself an opportunity to consider how to get them to give in the future.
Are you impressed? I'm reading these notes off my BlackBerry.
I'm very impressed. You were paying attention.
these notes may outlive BlackBerries.
That's wonderful.
Let's see. Okay, this is a good summary.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
If senior giving is not translating to young alumni giving, then what was the point of that?
Right. So I might go back and say it's not so much what was the point, because there are so many intangibles that you get from a senior donor, even if they never come back to you as a donor again. And a lot of that has to do with class unity. Saying a senior year, 70%, 80%, 45%, whatever is the record, whatever is the prominent figure, if that many people gave back, that's awesome. And I would never say that that's for naught, even if none of them give back the next year. There's a lot of value. However, if you're not teaching your seniors that you're expecting their ongoing philanthropy and that annual giving is critical to your mission, then it's as if you're giving them the introduction to a story to which you never expect them to continue to listen. And this story can go on for years and years and years, but I think they have to know that the book isn't over, that there's more to be said.
Well, and I'll defend what you apparently said in your presentation, that it's I mean, I think you made the point that what really focused attention on this was how high senior gift participation was among Ivy League peers.
Oh, sure.
And how low
Yes.
young alumni participation was.
Across the board.
And it was just maddening that, you know, if we connected with everybody in this way, why is it so pathetic? And I think it threw a spotlight on the fact that people just weren't thinking about that continuum.
Without a doubt.
So I think there is some truth that if we're going to exert all this energy and have such success in a senior gift program, why just be satisfied with everybody wandering away
exactly.
and losing all that connectivity?
There's so much momentum with your senior gift. And what happens is they go off into the world, they start their first job, they move cities four times in their first 2 years. The contact is lost. And in that shuffle goes their motivations to give back, because to them it was a big part of their undergraduate experience, if it was a part of their undergraduate experience at all. And presumably if you have a robust senior gift program, they heard about it, they knew people who gave back, they participated themselves. But until you have mentioned to them, whether it be on the sly or, in my opinion, as upfront as can be, that this is the first of many, it won't necessarily sink in the way that you need it to until maybe it's too late. And then they get a solicitation years down the line and they think, oh yeah, I guess I contributed my senior year, but that was my senior year gift and this must be something else. And I don't feel as connected anymore. And I think planting that seed as a senior is important, but there's no reason to wait to water it.
If you're not aware of Penn and its Proud Penn Traditions program, and now the YPEN,
that's right,
for recent graduates,
yes,
program, you ought to be. It's one of the best, one of the most thoughtful sort of strategies for how we teach the right lessons while they're students, and how we transition that relationship as recent graduates. And I'm talking to one of the reasons why it's been a big success.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much.